Go to Psalm 19. Time to teach God's word. Yeah, this time of year, we're starting to think about Christmas and the Lord's coming and his birth and so forth. And I wanted to get a head start on it. I wanted to talk about the Magi, which I will in a little bit. But before we get there, I want to do the bigger picture on what God has done. I guess the title of this teaching is the Word Written in the Stars. And it says in verse 19, the 19th Psalm, verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night they show knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man unto to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heavens, and his circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof." And then verse 7 through 14 still talk about God's work, but it's going to talk about the written word. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple," and so forth. This is all about the word. This is the word that's written in the stars and the celestial bodies, which God has done. And this is also the word that we have in front of us that we're reading from this morning. God wanted all his people to know his word. And there's no generation that has not been told this word. I want to go back here to the first verse on the 19th Psalm. It says, "The heavens," the word heavens is the expanse, "declare the glory of God, and the firmament." Word firmament is like the universe, but it's fixed. The word firmament means to be fixed. "Showeth his handiwork. Day unto day they uttereth speech, and night unto night they show knowledge." See, from the early times of history and from after Adam, I think, and just during the times of Adam, what God had was he showed and they understood the whole scheme of the salvation, the redemption of man that was in the firmament. And it's not well understood today. It's not well known. And I certainly cannot give you a blow-by-blow description of everything that's up there. I can't do that. I do know a couple of pieces of it. All right? You have the zodiac, they call it, right? It was called something else back then. But the point is, those constellations that are up there all speak of man's redemption. They are fixed. They have fixed in their positions since Adam and Eve. And the sun, as it says here, it goes through these. It travels through. It takes one entire year for the planet to have all 12. Every month you get a different zodiac thing that the sun goes through. And when the sun goes through it, you can't see it because the sun is up during the day and the stars are behind it. And the sun illuminates and blocks out the stars. But with these computer programs, you can see it. I mean, if you want to. And then you can tell which one is up because you can see which one is behind you because they're always fixed. they're completely fixed as far as we're concerned. It says, day unto day, they utter its speech. They're telling a story. They told a story. And for all those who lived before the word was printed, and really for centuries and centuries and centuries, I think the truth of what was written in the stars was lost a couple thousand years ago, at least, and maybe even more. There was only the Magi. Remember those guys? They came from the east, and they knew exactly when the Lord Jesus Christ was being born. They said they saw his star in the east, right? And back then, all the terms for those things that were in the sky were called stars, even the planets. But they saw it. They understood. They were so convinced of it, they took a trip probably from Babylon or Iran, Persian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, which is where Daniel was. Remember, they were sent, and Israel was sent captive to go into Babylon. And Daniel was put in charge of the magicians. And he lived there for better part of 70 years. And he got to be the boss. He was the main guy over those people. And do you know where those Gentiles learned of the king coming and of the celestial bodies and the alignments of those things? It would have to be from a man of God, right? Now, there are a lot of people who say, and they don't pay any attention to the zodiac because it's also a devilish thing. And it has been corrupted completely, really, with what do they call that? Astrology. You know, you get to read it in your newspaper. I don't think anybody reads a newspaper anymore. But, you know, people used to check what was going to happen to them that day and how life was going to go and all this. And that is completely devilish. That's what happens to the things of God, right? Things of God are always corrupted by the devil to get, you know, to corrupt the things that are holy. So he does that all the time. And there's nothing new there. But many of the signs of the zodiac were sort of like taken over by the Greeks and the Romans and others, the Egyptians. But you know what? They're all very similar in the way they look. They're all very similar in so many aspects of it that, you know, it's kind of incredible. But I'm not going to go down that path with it. It says that their speech, the word was told everyone. People knew it, and they understood it, and they knew that there was a Messiah that was coming. They even were told when this Messiah was coming. And I want you to just really think about it. It says here in verse 4, their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. And that the every time the sun rises in one of these constellations, that is the tabernacle, the house of the sun. To the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the end of it. The circuit is going through this, the sun goes through these constellations. Somebody's coming in now. These circuits go through the constellations unto the end of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. It is, go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Now, David spoke of it. He wasn't just talking about how beautiful the sky is and the magnificence of God creating it. That wasn't the only purpose, because, see, the terms that are in those six verses, those terms are talking about celestial terms, and they're also talking about scriptural terms, you know, where words are being spoken. It's two different things at the same time, and it's written in the stars. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 14, it says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament," that fixed universe of heaven, "to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." Now we think about days and years. We know that, you know, that's how we keep time, right? Is how the planets move, how the sun, you know, the earth goes around the sun, you know, one time around is a year. Again, how do you get that? How do you know where you are? It's because of those constellations that are around you. That's how they knew when to plant. That's how they knew the seasons that were coming and what was coming and when. It says, and then they were for signs. This word signs is a specific, it's used for very specific things, very monumental notations in the word. It's like when God said, set up, I want you to set up a memorial after they crossed the Red Sea. I want you to set up a memorial for a sign. All right. But, you know, try to send out, it's a sign for a specific, I want you to remember this event. So that it was important, these things. And what was the sign that really is going to be recorded right here and now? Right here and right now is going to be in chapter 3, when God says that he is going to send the seed of the woman in 3:15. "I will put an enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." That is going to be one of the signs, right? The others, the Magi saw the sign. They knew how to read it. It was a sign of the event that happened with the birth of Christ. And there's an awful lot. I don't know how else to say this. Genesis 49. I just want you to, first of all, see the greatness of this, the plan. In Genesis 49, in verse 9, this is when Jacob is blessing his children. And he comes to Judah. And Judah is a lion wept from the prey. "My son, thou art gone up." He stooped down. He crouched as a lion. "And as an old lion, who shall arouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, and nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." This is like super cryptic, but this, the lion is Leo. The scepter is Regulus, is that this the largest and most brilliant star in the sky is Regulus, and that is at the foot of Leo. It actually means foot, Regulus, and it's been called a couple of different things. So you got this particular picture. And I'm telling you that this is a representation of what's going to happen in this particular constellation, right? Now, I want to show you how it comes together, just to show you the bigness of it. Go to Revelation 5. Revelation 5, verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, of the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood the Lamb, as it hath been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God to send forth unto the earth. This Lion of the tribe of Judah that Jacob was prophesying of, where the scepter, the king, would come, was prophesied back there. So you have in Genesis 49, a very not so easily understood reference to Judah is the Lion, and a scepter is going to come from his feet, which is that word regulus. The word feet is the word regulus. And that is going to rise. And then you have at the end, it says that the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed. So, and that is the, so let me put it to you this way. The only two things I know as far as the, you have, as far as the zodiac and the signs in the zodiac and their full meaning, you have Virgo, which is the woman, right? And it said that she's going to give birth, the seed of the woman. That's the first month of the year. That's also the first place where God says in the calendar, according to what he gives to Moses after they leave Egypt, this will be the first month unto you. That's September. And she's going to give birth, and she gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ in September. And all of those signs and what the Magi saw and everything else was going to happen at a certain period of time. And it happened when Virgo was around. And I'm not going to get into the details. I couldn't do it in a teaching like this. But you read the book, Dr. World did, Jesus Christ, Our Promised Seed. There's an awful lot of detail there. There's also other books that are even more modern. The Mystery of the Maroth, I was reading last night. And, you know, the interpretations that these guys have concerning all the different zodiac, I can't tell whether they're correct or not. It's what they think. Point is, I don't know how to read it. I do know that the Bible tells me about two very specifically. Virgo, all right, the woman going to give birth. And it's the only woman in the zodiac, by the way. And the Lion, which is where, when my Lord returns, he's coming back, and that's the last one. So you got the first, and you got the last. And you know what? I believe that they're all in order at the story of man's redemption from the very beginning of Genesis 3:15 all the way through, is in the zodiac and is made known to all mankind, and especially the ancients before the written word was there, so that all men are without excuse. They all could have believed the story, the truth, the gospel, because night unto night it showed knowledge and it was understood. And when you go back and you even look at Egypt and what they understood of the zodiac and what you see in the Romans and the Greeks, you know what? Even though they're talking about other gods and they've named it other things, it's a similar story. Virgo is going to be fertility and giving birth. And it was about planting. It was about the first month of the year. It was all those things. And, you know, and I'm not saying that they did not, that the devil did not screw this up. But he wants to kill the scriptures. He wants to keep you from holding it forth. He wants us to stop speaking the word. He wants us to be shut-ins. You know, he wants to stop this word. And he's always wanted that. Go to the book of Job, chapter 38. Just want to show you a couple other things. Now, the scripture teaches us that astrology is evil, right? And that you're not to participate in it. And just from a practical point of view, since the devil has got this entire thing going with astrology, and so many people think it's cute, a game, but it's ruinous. Because it gets you to believe that somebody else has got control of your life, number one, that you don't have any control over your own, that your future is in the stars, and you're this kind of person and you can't change. You know, it's really horrendous, but it also takes people away from God and his word. So star worship, which is what it is, was forbidden. And where the heck? Lost Job. Huh? Job 38. So every time I turned the page, it wouldn't go in the right direction. So in Job 38, where is that? 31. God is hammering Job here because of his arrogance. And God says to him, "Can thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades, the stars, or loose the bands of Orion? Can thou bring forth Merodach in his seasons?" Merodach is the Hebrew and the Old Testament way of talking about the zodiac. Merodach. In his seasons, or can thou guide Arcutus with his sons? Knowest thou the origins of heaven? Can thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Cast thou, lift up thy voice to the clouds, the abundance of water may cover thee. Go ahead. Tell me, you know, the answer Job would have to give the Lord is, no, I can't do any of those things. But God here claims the zodiac as his. Okay. And again, the reason I call it zodiac, because it's easier to pronounce than this word Merodach. All right. God claims it. And then Psalm 19 tells us that it utters speech and words and knowledge. And then go to Romans chapter 10. Just because I do not know how to look up there and read it doesn't mean that it's not there. Thank God I have a printed Bible in front of me with his word, which is perfect, that obviously has replaced since the law was given to Moses. it is much more preferred in my hands than the stars. But that doesn't mean that the stars didn't speak the word. And when Paul says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went unto all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. That is a quote from Psalm 19 that we just read. Everyone has heard the scripture. There is none that have not. It doesn't matter whether you're in the middle of the Antarctic, or whether you're in the middle of Africa, or whether you're in the middle of China. All through the centuries, that word has been known. And the devil has done everything he can to destroy. He's going to do everything he can to get rid of this book. He's trying to shame people out of it now. And he's been doing this since the beginning. This is nothing new. There's nothing new here. You know, and so I love that song that we sang, that, you know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And so I just thought that that was kind of cool. And I wanted you to see that the Apostle Paul, by revelation, talks about the knowledge that was in the sky, quoting Psalm 19. God said there were signs and seasons, not just time, but signs up there. And just because I am ignorant, I do know too, because of scripture. The other scripture we go to is Revelation 12. That's why I know that the Virgo, the woman, Revelation 12 is up there and spoken prominently about. Revelation 12. Starting in verse 1, it says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Remember what I said, you know, when the sun is in Virgo, you can't see Virgo unless there's a full eclipse. Then you can see the stars behind her, all right, behind the sun. But this tells you that it's the woman and that the sun is in the middle of Virgo. It's clothing her with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. That's another, it's not really constellation, one of the 12 constellations, but it's another group of stars just above, and I forget what their names are, but there's 12 of them that you can see with the naked eye. And she, being with child, travaileth in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and the 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew a third part of the angels and heaven, and did cast them into the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled unto the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God. And they showed her, fed her there, and thousands, 260 days. Do I understand everything about this prophecy? No. I can see Virgo clothed with the sun. Makes perfect sense. The sun clothed her, opaqued her, right? I can see that she brought forth a man child. This is what was coming. that the moon is under her feet. There's 12 stars on her head. And when all of this comes to pass, guess what? The seed of the woman was born. The promised seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born. And when he was born, guess what? The other constellation, Hydra, which they call the serpent with all the heads, immediately wanted to destroy the child. And if you read the record in Matthew, that's what God warned. Go, get out of here and go to Egypt. Right? Go to Matthew chapter 2. Verse 1. There's two times where the Magi, they're called the wise men. It's really a bad translation, the Magi. And they came, like I said, they saw his star in the east. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. They saw the star and they came to Jerusalem and they asked Herod the king, where is he? There are a lot of things during the Christmas season that are basically traditions and not truths, and you got to get it straight. Number one, nobody else was looking for this star in Jerusalem. The truth about what was happening up in the sky was gone. Very few people, almost nobody knew. It was just a couple of magi coming. The star that they say we saw his star, it wasn't unusually bright like you see in the Christmas cards, like it fills the whole sky. All right? Because nobody else is curious. It's not standing out any more than any other night. These were where planets and stars were lined up in a certain way that would give you the indication that Christ has been born. The scepter has risen from between the feet. Okay, that there would be a scepter, that at a certain place in Virgo, there would be a certain thing that would happen. And these guys understood it. All right, I don't want to make little of it. I just can't explain it to you at the moment. There are, like I said, there are books and other people who can very clearly. I just want to give you the point of the principle. So these magi showed up, they saw his star, that he was being born. And then they went, how long does it take to get to Jerusalem? How long does it take to go see the king? And then go and ask him? I'm telling you, it takes a while. Because it says, when they came to see the child, he was a toddler. He was not, he was also in a house. He was no longer in the manger. There's no mention of shepherds. That was the first day. The Lord announced to the shepherds with the angel, that Christ was born, the Savior, that Christ was born. That was announced to the shepherds, and the shepherds ran, and they saw the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, they've moved since then. Okay? So they go to Herod. It takes them a long time to get there. And I believe it's about a year and a half before they get to Jerusalem and say this, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. And it says in the east, it's rising. we've seen his star rising and are come to worship him. And then again, a little bit later on here in Matthew 2 and verse 9, it says, and when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east, it went before them until it came and stood over the young child, where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced and were exceedingly joyful. So as they were leaving from Herod, again, this thing arose. And from my understanding, it's the planet Jupiter. And it rose up in the east. And then there's a peculiar way of doing this. And, you know, I wish I knew. I once upon a time had a DVD, and I lent it out to somebody. And it's talking about the Star of Bethlehem. And you got, if you get a chance, Ralph Waldo was the one who gave it to me as a gift to begin with. I just don't remember. I got to look it up. But if you could get this and show it to your kids and everything, it's about an hour presentation of this lawyer who worked out all this thing with the constellations and this. It's workable. You can do it. It's, you can see it. And how it works. And, you know, there are excellent presentations on this. This is not, I want you to think about this. This is not something thrown together. How much does God want people to know him, know the truth, know about the Messiah? How much? We stand here on the earth, a small, insignificant speck in the universe. And yet God fixed, he fixed in the sky hundreds of millions of light years and billions of miles away certain stars and galaxies that we call the Zodiac, the Maserath. And the sun goes through them, and it proclaims his word, his will, the coming of his son, the end of the kingdom. When that scepter arises out of Judah, it says he's going to reign with a hand of iron over all the nations. That's when he comes back. I know the thing that announces his coming, and I know the last one, Leo, and that's the one where he rules in the kingdom to come. I don't have a handle on the others. I'm not pretending to. I just know that these two start, the coming seed, and the one where the scepter reigns, where the Lord reigns in Judah. It's talked about in Revelation. There's no getting around this. No getting around it at all. And if people don't want to see it, they can't see it. You know, this is just fluff for them. Because it gets to be. The devil has made it fluff. He's made it on Christmas cards, this huge star. You know, the wise men show up the same day as the shepherds. It didn't happen that way. It's all a lie to make it less scripture, less detail, and more storytelling. Let's make it a cartoon. It's the same attack that was done with the other nations when they changed the meaning of the stars and what was going on in the sky. And now they're up there so they can run your life and tell you whether you're going to have a good day or a bad day, or a prosperous year, or a bad year. Don't let it happen to your head and heart. The detail that's in God's word, God has, just consider, the Almighty, our Father, has fixed these things in the sky to teach his word. He's given us this written word by holy men who spake. Why? Because he loves all mankind. He loves you. He has literally set the stars in their courses to teach man his word. He has sent holy men, the Spirit of the Lord, so that we learn his word. You think you're not loved? You think that you don't have someone of power and might got your back? Do you think that you need to be afraid of the coming days or whatever? What, are you kidding me? You just don't grasp how great your Father is and what he's done. You don't grasp that his love is beyond comprehension, and just the power of putting Virgo out there and Jupiter in a certain place at a certain time. All this was pre-thought and did in Genesis 1. In Genesis 1, this is before Adam and Eve were. He knew what was coming. He knew what he would give man. He knew what man would do. And yet he was going to give each and every one of us a shot to believe. You're not condemned because of your ancestor. You're condemned because you or you do not believe yourself. We were all condemned and unredeemable on our own. That's what it says in Scripture. But when God shows this plan of man's redemption throughout his word, go to John chapter 3. People read it 1,000 times, but I don't think, again, you got to put it together. And I think most Christians don't even, you know, nobody wants to get into and lock down the detail. Oh, what's the difference whether this is true or not? Well, the difference between a Christmas card and the truth has got to do with everything. Because if those magi thought, what's the difference? One star goes up there and another one comes down. You know, what's the difference? It's just, there's a difference. It's important. It was so important to God that he kept the knowledge alive, had Daniel teach these people who weren't even a part of Israel so that they could come and announce to Israel. Yeah, he came. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved the world that he announced it. God so loved the world that in Genesis 1:14, he marked it as a sign of one of those great events that would happen. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. If people don't accept him, they're already condemned. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They didn't want change. They didn't want to see it. They didn't want to see the light. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth the truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. So it's not just knowing it, but it's doing it. So the people who love the light, they want to do it, and they live in the light, and they live his word, and they do his word. The people who hate the light, they don't want to do it because they love their evil. They love to do their evil. People choose. Christ came to save the entire world because God loved. God announced it throughout all the centuries. And he put it in fabulous, unbelievable places in the sky. He's given it to us and preserved it throughout all the centuries in his written word. His love for mankind is just beyond comprehension. Don't ever doubt it. You know, don't ever doubt. Let's just close in one nice place. 1 John. God went through all of this, set those stars, their galaxies, these points of light that are out there that make up the constellations are literally 70 billion mile light years away, some of them. Like the stars, I look in my telescope and I can see the band that's in Orion's belt. There's a constellation that makes up what looks like a star. It's a galaxy. Actually, it's three galaxies clustered together. And it's just one of the points of light in Orion's belt. And that is 70 million light years away from here. And God put that there, all that distance away, to teach you and I the truth of a part of the redemption of man. And he did that for every single one of those. And you know what? If you were sitting out there looking back at us, it wouldn't look the same. The earth is the point in which everything else, all the constellations go around. The earth is that which moves around the sun. And the sun is that which goes through the constellations from our point from our point of view. It says in chapter 3, of verse 1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what you shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Our Lord's coming, you're loved. You are greatly loved. And we're going to be celebrating the birth of our Lord, even though it should have been September. We're going to do it in December, and we're going to help other people come to know and understand why we celebrate it. That's what I pray we get an opportunity to do as the days go forward. So that's what I wanted to share with you. And I love you all, and God bless. Have a fun day, a wonderful day.